This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
A summit today in Europe that's being called a make-or-break moment in the debt crisis.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective on business and economics. European leaders are heading back to Brussels, Belgium today to take another shot at solving the continent's debt crisis. Why we should care about what's going on there, especially with a country at the center of the crisis, Greece, is what Marketplace is focusing on all week. Marketplace's Stephen Beard is with us live from our European desk with the latest now. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
So how likely is it that we're going to see some sort of agreement, some sort of plan today?
Some agreement is likely and part of a plan, but hopes of a comprehensive package are waning. Remember, there are three main elements to any deal: fixing European banks so they've got enough capital, cutting Greece's debt so that country can pay its own way, and boosting the firepower of this European bailout fund to prevent bigger countries like Italy getting into trouble. Now, they've agreed the first element, that European banks do need more cash, but they're arguing ferociously about the other two elements of the deal, writing off Greek debt and beefing up the bailout fund.
All right. So if the summit this evening, Stephen, does not produce some sort of comprehensive package, where does that leave us?
It could be pretty nasty. Markets have been really treading water in recent days, just waiting and watching. The euro has been steady, but a vague or unsatisfactory outcome from today's summit could change all that. Here's Steve Barrow, a currency strategist at Standard Bank.
What happens after we see the announcements from the eurozone could be very different. I think if they are disappointing, then we could start to see the euro fall significantly.
And, of course, there could be renewed waves of speculation against the government bonds of eurozone countries like Italy. Things could escalate. And as we've discussed so often in the past, Steve, it could spiral out of control into another global banking crisis and recession. U.S. Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner has described Europe's debt crisis as posing a catastrophic risk to the global economy.
All right. Marketplace's Stephen Beard reporting from London. Stephen, thank you.
Okay, Steve.
U.S. creditors don't have much direct exposure to Greek debt. The Bank for International Settlements tells the Wall Street Journal that number is about 5%. Exposure, of course, is one of those words you may hear a lot of when it comes to the European debt crisis. And Marketplace senior editor and Whiteboard host Patty Hirsch is here with a breakdown of what exposure really means. Hey, Patty.
Hello, Steve.
So when I hear the word exposure, I'm not thinking good thoughts.
No, exposure is a negative word, right?
Yes.
To most of us, exposure means you've got hypothermia, so you're essentially freezing to death. It's kind of an unfortunate choice of word for financial people to use, because exposure isn't necessarily a bad thing.
It's not?
Obviously not. I mean, you go out in the sun ever?
Of course.
Well, that's good, because the sun is a great source of vitamin D, right? But you want to keep the sun off your face. But a nice daily dose of sun on your arms and legs is actually really good for you.
All right, so I should spend more time in the sun then.
No, don't go out in the sun, Steve. You'll get sunstroke, you'll get melanoma, you'll get cancer. The sun is a killer.
All right, I get it. You're telling me that I need to moderate my exposure.
Right, or you're going to get burned. So to paraphrase, it's not the sun that burns people. It's overexposure to the sun that burns people.
So what does this have to do with the Greek government debt?
Well, Greek debt is like the sun.
It is?
Sure. I mean, there are good reasons to buy Greek debt, right? I mean, you get paid a lot of money these days for that stuff for now, and there may even be a guarantee.
Yeah.
Maybe. But you don't want too much Greek debt. It's like you and the sun. You want to get a little, not too much.
Just like on my arms and my legs, right?
Right, just for some color and that vitamin D. And if you're smart, you won't stay out too long.
Maybe apply some sunblock.
Like a hedge, right, exactly.
Oh,
like an insurance
hedge,
policy.
Yes.
Yeah, in case you stay out too long, yes. But if you go and stretch out by the pool at midday in your swimmies, yes, you're going to get covered in Greek bonds. They're all over you. I don't care how much sunblock you're wearing. You're going to get burned.
All right, so exposure, Patty, to bonds simply means you own bonds. It's the overexposure that's the problem.
Right. Bonds don't burn people.
Yeah, I think we get the message. Patty Hirsch, thanks.
Thank you.
Let's do the numbers. European markets are mostly higher right now. Asian shares are mixed today. Amazon.com stock was down 12% yesterday on news the companies spent a lot of money on development of the Kindle Fire. Earnings in the last quarter came in way below expectations. Wall Street yesterday, another down day for the markets. The Dow gave back 207 points to close at 11,706.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering IRA savings products and a Raise Your Rate 4-year CD. Learn more at allybank.com. By CenturyLink, a new kind of broadband company linking Americans coast to coast with consistently fast speeds and personal service. More at CenturyLink.com. And by Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu.
In London today, struggling cell phone maker Nokia unveiled some new handsets that run on Microsoft's Windows operating system. Now, Nokia is trying to make a comeback with the Lumia 710 and 800 models. They're expected to be introduced in the U.S. sometime next year. But Marketplace senior business correspondent Bob Moon reports the company can't afford to wait too long.
Chief executive Stephen Elop has admitted to being desperate after Nokia's previous attempt at smartphones flopped. Now the company is counting on Microsoft's wizardry, while the software giant is hoping the partnership will provide the boost its Windows mobile system has long needed. Charles Golvin is a telecom analyst at Forrester Research.
I expect that there is going to be some burgeoning momentum behind the Windows phone system and that Nokia can ride that to some level of success. Now, that's not a slam dunk.
Nokia remains the global leader by number of cell phones, but Golvin says it'll have to fight hard for a share of the smartphone market here. He says the company is almost starting from scratch.
It's certainly do or die for them in the U.S. market. I think this is their last opportunity to get it right.
A few months ago, though, Nokia's CEO took comfort in the drooling that he said he saw at a preview of the company's new offerings.
I want more drool. I mean, we want that. We have to delight customers.
Do that, he says, and Nokia's problems will take care of themselves. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
Finally, clothing tops the list of the most wanted things for the holidays. It's according to the Consumer Electronics Association's holiday purchase study. Tablet and notebook computers come in second and third on the list. Peace and happiness was number one on the list last year, but apparently the more realistic gift is an iPad or Donna Karen blouse. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
So here's a thought. What if Germany's role in the European debt crisis is more emotions than economics?
Germans have been searching for a missing part of their soul, passion. They envy the sun-filled days of their Mediterranean neighbors.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, German Envy. Next time on Marketplace, the rest of the day's business news as well from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.